Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know, and all the people that come and go stop and say hello. On the corner is a banker with a motor car. The little children laughing at him.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Serpin. I'll be here until 11 today. We have an open line to begin things. Between now and 10 o'clock, we'll take your calls on whatever you would like to talk about. We'll throw out some headlines here in just a bit, and you can pick up on those stories, or you can bring us comments and questions that you've been thinking about. Maybe something you heard on the air or watched on television, or maybe you went to a movie or read a book or something and you have something to say about that. That's what we do in an open line. Then after the 10 o'clock news, a conversation with Joe Alexander. We're going to talk about the State of Illinois Bicentennial. This is a big, big deal, 200 years and lots of activities going on. And quite frankly, we haven't had much of a conversation about it since it was announced, so we're going to talk about it in a little detail this morning with Joe Alexander, and tomorrow we'll visit with political guru Jim Noland. In the news today, by the way, Senator Franken is to speak at 10:45 our time this morning. They're never on time, of course, but a lot of people think he's going to resign. Several people in his own party have asked him to resign, but we'll see. That's coming up this morning. And here locally, the Chamber of Commerce Political Action Committee has endorsed Gordy Holton to be the county's first county executive. And how about that $7 million gift from the DeMergent family yesterday? First step in a new home for track and soccer. First permanent home, really, for those schools. They've been kind of out there on the field, and that's been about it. No place to get together, locker rooms, and all those kinds of things. But What a family! They just keep pouring their money and their enthusiasm for Illinois one time after another. And they got the golf course, the golf facility, I should say, just across the street. So our thanks to them. Look forward to seeing this latest for a track and soccer. Jim Dye visited with the controversial owner of Suburban Express, and he says, the owner says, I want every passenger that I can get. Pretty long story about the problems they had with what he had to say about the Chinese students. I'll got the direct quote here that I'll give you in a bit when we look at that story in more detail. And Tim Dittman writes about the accidental shooting that resulted in an unpaid suspension for a Champaign police officer. An elder abuse suspect has been convicted, headed for prison for as many as 60 years. And according to international news, rage has followed President Trump recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And the United States is urging Israel to restrain their response to that recognition, citing security affairs. More than 10,000 text messages between ex-Mueller team officials found after discovery of the anti-Trump messages. And how would you like to be out in Southern California? What dramatic pictures they showed last night. People trying to drive to work looked like they were driving right into the middle of the fire. Winds are a big problem out there. Officials say that they're at the beginning of a protracted wind event, they call it. There is no ability to fight fire in these kinds of winds, they say. And locally, the Balloons Over Vermilion grant has put the Kickapoo Rail Trail over the top. The Vermilion County leg of this trail can begin next year after the major donation. We've had a lot of interest in that. I had the great pleasure of, along with my daughter Jane, of kind of emceeing and at the opening of the trail between Urbana and St. Joe. So this is on the other side, headed toward Danville. The Senate Democrats are calling for Al Franken to resign. He's expected to make an announcement at 10:45 this morning. A lot of people think he will resign, but who knows? At least seven women have alleged sexual harassment against him. Russian President Vladimir Putin announced yesterday that he plans to run for re-election. Now, who can possibly run against him? Jimmy Fallon said last night, this is like having a homeschool person being the class president, untouchable. The House overwhelmingly votes down impeachment resolution against President Trump. The vote was 364 no, 58 yes. And how about that basketball game? I don't know quite how to say it. How about that basketball game? Or, well, how about that basketball game? You were there, or maybe you listened to it, or watched it on BTN. What did you think? It was a strange, strange game. I went to that game last night thinking, this is going to be the night where we put it all together, and I know that Austin Peay is a pretty good team, and they'll play us tough, just as Coach Underwood has explained. And this turned out to be I don't know. Here's a couple of numbers for you. Illinois committed 25 turnovers in the game, 19 fouls, shot 40% from the field, but hit 15% from three. And as Scott Ritchie writes in the paper, Dick Vitale might have stood on his head anyway to replicate the bet that he made after the Austin Peay upset Illinois in the first round of the 1987 NCAA tournament. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. A lot of people, some of the younger reporters, report about that half of that story where Vitale said if Austin Peay beats Illinois, I will stand on my head here in the broadcast booth or broadcast studio. And that's what he did. So I called him up and said, Dick, you're pretty tough on the Illini. I said, how about coming here and standing on your head when we do something great? He said, okay, if you win the national championship, I'll come there and stand on my head. I said, how many teams win the national championship? That might be something that won't happen in a lifetime. How about if they just get to the Final Four? Well, okay, if Illinois gets to the Final Four, or when they get to the Final Four, I will come to Champaign and stand on my head. Well, that was shortly after we had gotten beat by Austin Peay, and so 1989, the Illini go to the Final Four. The following year, I call Vitale up and say, remember? He said, I remember, I'll do it. And true to his word, he came here stood on his head at the assembly hall, joking. I think he was joking. He said, "You got to get me out of here. All the blood's going to my head. I'm going to faint." And a lot of people would have applauded had he done that. He's got mixed emotions about whether you like Dick Vitale or not. But one of the funniest things that happened was that when he got there, and we knew it was going to be that night that he was going to do it, and all had been agreed. So I took the wireless mic and walked out on the court to find him right before the game during a lull in the warm-ups. And said, "You ready to do it?" And he looked around and he said, "Let's wait a while. There aren't enough people here yet." So that's what we did. We waited a while, and more people came in, and then he did it. He is one of a kind, that's for sure. All right, anybody have any comments about the game? Anybody have any comments about the other games? How about Loyola beating number 5 Florida in a game played at Florida? And Washington 74, Kansas 65, that game played in Kansas City. And, you know, in basketball, we all know this, right? It just doesn't take very much to be able to do what these teams have done. What it takes is 5, 6, 7 players. In football, you got to have a whole bunch. But not so in basketball. So Tony is first today. What's up, Tony?
Hi. I just want to tell you, I really like this new basketball coach. I think we are in very good hands. I like the way his sideline demeanor is. I like him in interviews. He seems like he's the most important person in the room everywhere he goes, and I just hope that he's around for a long time, because that's what I think needs to happen. Is, oh, you got a good coach, and he wants to be here. So I'm just excited for the prospects. I don't know. So every time I watch an interview on that Champagne Room on Twitter, I think this guy, I don't know how else to describe him. He just seems like a stud to me.
Yeah, he does. He does to me, too. And, boy, he doesn't hold back, does he, with those players? And,
no.
He's got a, like a 10-man rotation going at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's a really, really good coach. And I like Bruce Weber, too. But you guys talked a lot about on your show, like Bruce Weber was kind of annoying on the sideline, the way he screamed and yelled in that high-pitched voice, and this guy just has a cool, calm demeanor, and I like it. So that's all I wanted to say, is I'm really happy with the coach. So
what'd you think of that game last night, though?
Well, I gotta admit, I really didn't watch except the first half. So, but I did see the highlights, I don't know. Every time I see the highlights of the game, I don't know. I just, like, even if they don't win a lot of games this year, I'm still impressed with him. I don't know why. Something about him is likable. I like the guy. So.
Well, I think a lot of people do, too. I don't hear any negative comments about the coach. I just, you know, the negative comments are, boy, I wish we could, you know, quit fouling, and you just can't turn the ball over 25 times and all those kind of things, which is accurate. And
right. Well,
but that's not his fault.
Right. Well, can I say one more thing?
Sure.
Because we're getting toward the end of your tenure, and I just loved it yesterday when the gentleman called in that was giving you advice on he was calling it 3 fros, and he was using the word 3 instead of free, and your pronunciation of the word free every time just made me smile. Because that guy had no idea what he was talking about. If every coach could tell the players, don't miss a free throw and we're going to win the game, that would be a pretty easy thing to do, wouldn't it? and he kept saying the word 3 instead of free.
Yeah, I know he did. The fact of the matter is, that's been one of the least of our problems, is that we went into the game last night We had four guys on the stat sheet that were shooting free throws at 80% or better.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Thank you, Tony. Nice to talk to you. And Motor is here. Hello, Motor.
Hi, guys. How are you? Happy December 7th, 1941. Same. I want you all to remember, too, started that beautiful, crazy day. But we have to honor all those World War II veterans. They did a great job. They put everything on the line. And I would just like to have one thing to say. Dear Lord, bless this great nation. We have survived. We are still at it, but we got to remember each and every one of those gentlemen and ladies, dogs, everybody that participated in it. And it was everybody, because they got from down the ladies sluggers to baseball players to everybody that got into it. And God bless each and every one of you that were there, and all the ones that were not able to see what's happening right now.
Yep, the greatest generation is what the Tom Brokaw called them. I think that's right.
Yes, he did. It was great. I would like to have just one moment of silence to say this prayer. Dear Lord, God bless all of them who gave their all. And please, Lord, if you will, bless the ones that are coming up, and bless everyone in the world that they can honor. The main object of what happened, and let them all remember and never forget. God bless America, and God bless each and every one of you. No matter what your color, race, creed is, please be kind to each other like you want them to be kind to you. And may the good Lord bless each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen, Motor. Thank you very much. Better take our first break here, Mr. Bond. We'll be so far behind, we'll be going into Rush's show here before too long. So let's take a break. I got some callers waiting. We'll get right to them after that. This is Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. We have a text message here from Jeff. He texted us last night, talking about last night. Says, how come you won't be on after the UNLV game? Here in Chicago, we're allowed to be awake. It's the weekend. Come on, guys. Well, I don't know. I didn't make that decision, but I don't know how many people would be up at, 1:30, Ed? That'd be about the right time, about 11 o'clock, might be even later than that. I was listening to the post-game show last night, and the coach took a long time, and when he came on, he said, we had a lot of things to talk about. I'll bet they did. Let's go to Alan. Good morning, Alan.
Morning, Jim. I was talking to Mr. Bond before I went on the air, and he said it was like pulling teeth. Boy, it sure was. That has to be one of the worst lineup wins I think I've ever seen. It was really bad. 49 turnovers for two teams. And I don't know how many fouls it was. It just wasn't a good game to watch at all.
Well, we had 19 fouls. I don't have the box right in front of me, but they didn't shoot many free throws in that game either. I mean, I think we won the game at the free throw line, didn't we?
Probably again. Our offense is not very good. I don't understand why we never screen. I mean, girls screened all the time, but we don't. We don't do any screening for our shooters. They have to get open on their own, and I don't get that. I just don't like our offense. That's all I can say about that.
In the game, Austin Peay made 7 of 13 free throws, and we made 20 of 28. So we had 19 fouls. They had 27. So...
Well, that's why we're up on the game. I mean,
well,
sure it was. Three-point shooting was not there.
Three-point shooting
wasn't much better.
Three-point shooting for both teams was pretty bad.
Oh, yeah. It was just a ugly, ugly game. It was a strange night, though. Kansas gets beat, and Florida gets beat by Loyola. And they're showing all kinds of last-second shots on the highlights last night.
How about a couple of nights ago, Ball State beating Notre Dame in South Bend?
Yeah, that was another one. So I don't know. I just think these kids just don't get up for every game. They just pick their games they want to get up for, and that's it. Not much you can do.
Well, as I was saying before, and you know as well as anybody, Alan, that in basketball you don't have to have very many players. You can have a team that has seven or eight players, if you got two or three good ones that can, on any given night, can beat the better teams. It happens all the time.
Sure.
In football, you got to build up and build up and build up and have a whole bunch of players.
Yeah, it's totally different than that. You got to have at least 30 or 35 good football players, and like you say, only two or three basketball, and you can survive.
Yeah, appreciate your call, Alan. Thank you. Hang in there. Let's not forget it was indeed a W. It's a win. It goes on that side of the column. Andre Jackson scored 23 points on 10 of 12 shooting. Cameron Krutwig added 14 and 8 rebounds. And Loyola stunned number 5 Florida 63-59. Wednesday night in Gainesville. This was the third consecutive loss for Florida. They won't be number 5 any longer. Less than 48 hours after Florida coach Mike White said his team's performance against rival Florida State was the epitome of soft, the Gators delivered another dud. This one could knock them out of the Associated Press top 25. Especially if they lose the 17th-ranked Cincinnati on Saturday. Arizona went from number 2 to unranked earlier this year. The Gators shot 36% from the field. They missed 17 out of 19 three-point attempts. And the Loyola Ramblers, maybe this is the best team right now in the state of Illinois. What do you think? They are 9-1. They had 52% from the field, made half their 12 shots from behind the arc. It is 9:30. Michael Kaiser has the news headlines, and we'll be back after that with more Open Line here on Penny.
Good ball. Tonight on DWS.
Back on Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. You can reach us at 356-9397. The text line is 351-5357. We're talking about Coach Underwood, and a couple of callers are called in to say how much they liked him. Last night in the post game, I was waiting, and I was listening to Brian and to Doug Altenberger, and they talked, and they talked, and they talked some more, and the coach didn't come out very soon, that's for sure. And then when he did come out, he had, well, this is part of what he had to say. Not exactly what we were looking for, a little music. To add to your pleasure this morning, if we can clear that up, we will play it for you. We're at the 356-9397. Lots of other things going on, including a rather early endorsement by the Political Action Committee of the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce. They have endorsed Republican Gordy Holton to be the county's first county executive. It's about 11 months before the general election set for November 6th, 2018. And Garrett Hill, who is the spokesman for the Business Empowered Political Action Committee, said, "We decided that since the chamber was such a driver for the county executive initiative in the first place, we wanted to make sure if we're going to get involved that we want as much of the election cycle as we could and have as much impact as we possibly could." The Chamber of Commerce, along with the County Farm Bureau, Holton, currently the county clerk, State Senator Chapin Rose, were the chief proponents of the county executive proposal, which was narrowly approved by voters in November of 2016 by a margin of 50.26 to 49.74. Let's go to the phones for Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Jim. I talked to you, I believe, on Monday about the incident with the gentleman that got ripped out of his car and got beat up.
Yes, sir, you did.
Court case was, I think, Tuesday, and he walked into court, and judge goes, case dismissed, and he walked right out of court.
You mean the people who beat him up, nothing happened to him?
Not a thing. Not one thing. He went up before the judge, and the judge said, case dismissed, and they walked right out. Nothing happened. What is going on with our state's attorney?
Well, I don't know. All I know about that case is the little bit I read and what you told me, but didn't they arrest the people at the time?
Yes, they did. Actually, there was two cases involved here. There was two separate incidences, and from what I've talked to an officer in town, that there's something going on through the cities. There's a gang initiation going on where they will park in front of a vehicle and wait for somebody to honk at them. Then they'll get out of the car and they'll beat you up.
So this has happened more than once, you think?
Yes, sir, it has. The one that I made a mistake on when I called in, there was two separate incidences, and the one that got published in the paper was a separate one where there was four individuals. This other one that happened was a separate, with just one individual.
So what has happened to that one? Do you know?
I don't know what happened to that. What happened to the other case? I just know that the incident that happened with the individual that I know, it got dismissed. Just walked in. Case got dismissed. Assault and battery, you know, unprovoked. Case dismissed.
This guy got beat up pretty bad, you said, right?
Yes, he did. His face looks like that, you know, that purple character for that cartoon character, or, you know, it's black and blue.
Well, thanks. I didn't know that. Thanks for letting me know about it. I appreciate it.
Hey, I had one other thing, if you don't mind talking about a little bit about politics.
Sure, go ahead.
One thing, you know, this Al Franken thing and all this other stuff that's been going on out there.
Yes.
Have you noticed how many of them? The majority of them are all Democrats, and how few of them are Republicans?
There's a lot of liberals involved in this. I know that, yes.
And do you think that if Trump hadn't gotten elected, that you think any of this would have come out? If Hillary got elected, do you think any of this would have come out out into the media field or stratosphere or whatever you want to call it?
I don't know. You know, when the thing came out with Harvey Weinstein, you wondered if that was just going to be a single incident, and then there was another one, you know, and then another one, and pretty soon it's just it's an avalanche, it's a tsunami of allegations of people that had this thing, these allegations are that they had all these harassment years and years ago, many of them. So I don't know.
Yeah,
you're saying, but I don't know if it had been any different or not.
Yeah, Rush talked about it yesterday, you know.
What did he say?
Take it with a grain of salt. One thing that back in 2008 when Hillary ran the first time for president, there was an email that was shown that she was asked or she was told, you need to separate yourself from this guy because of some allegations that are going to come out. She said, don't worry about it.
Oh.
She didn't distance herself from him at all.
Well, there were two different actresses that during the campaign evidently told Hillary or Hillary's staff about Weinstein, said we shouldn't be associated with this guy because he's troubled, yet he was still involved in the campaign and gave them multiple contributions and took part in fundraising activities and so forth. They said, you better get away from this guy. But it didn't happen. Hey, thanks, Dave. Appreciate your call. We go to Greg. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Jim.
Hi.
I watched that Illinois game last night. They talked about Dick Vitale standing on his head at the Assembly Hall, but I never saw any picture of that or any video of that. And that picture, I've looked on the Internet for 20 minutes, and I can't find a picture of that.
It's in my book.
It's in your book. I've got your book. I'll have to go back and look through.
I think it's in the book. But it happened. There were pictures taken and pictures that were in the paper the next day when it happened. But I don't know. It's been a long time ago.
I did a search on the News Gazette thing, and I find all kinds of references to it, but there's no picture of it. But that guy that just called about the gang initiation, I can't wait to read in the News Gazette where those guys pick on the wrong person and he gets out with a baseball bat, tunes him up. Put a few of them in the hospital.
Yeah, then I wonder what kind of charges there will be, if
any.
Well,
we'll have to wait and see. But hey, I read that article about those guys that worked at that assisted living facility molesting those old women.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
How did that guy get a job out there if he's on parole?
I don't know.
I'll tell you what, if I was Bickford or somebody, I'd be getting ready to write some big checks to somebody.
And this guy, as I read it, was the only one on duty all night long, evidently, in that particular at the Bickford. They've got two separate areas there, and one is for the ones that have Alzheimer's, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And this is out on Staley Road, and I don't, I can't imagine just be one person there all night long, but evidently that's what happened. He was in charge, and the poor people that he was looking after, many of them, didn't have it all together and didn't know exactly what was going on.
Yeah. Hey, what'd you think about this Champaign police officer getting 10 days off without pay for that accidental shooting?
I don't know. I just learned about that this morning. I didn't know that's what had happened. What do you think about it?
Well, I think it's ridiculous. I mean, it was an accident. They paid that guy $90-some thousand. He was running from the police. DUI, no driver's license, and he gets $93,000, and this poor police officer gets 10 days off without pay. I think that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, he stumbled and the gun went off, right?
That's what the news says, but I don't know. That I lived in Champaign for a long time, and I live in Monticello now, and I don't regret moving out of that place up there at all. I was talking to somebody about taxes up there, and they've got a rain tax up there. They're going to tax you on the water that runs out of your driveway that goes into the city sewer system. Well, that's about the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
A rain tax?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know anything about that, really. Thank you, Greg. I need to take a quick break here. Callers, hold on. I'm coming right back. We're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. Phone lines open at 356-9397. Victor is next. Good morning, Victor.
Good morning. Good morning. This has nothing to do with university or nothing to do with basketball. It's a total change of subject. Why does ice float? Now, the obvious answer is it's lighter than water, but it's just frozen water. Perhaps someone can call in and answer that question as to why frozen water floats. I'll just hang up and wait for an answer. Hopefully somebody will enlighten me.
Do you have a computer there, Victor?
I can't use a computer. I'm legally blind with macular degeneration.
Oh, my. I'm sorry to hear that. I was just going to say, I don't know the answer, but that's on Google, I'm sure. We'll try to find out for you if we can. And let's see. I can't tell who this is from. It's a text that says, Suburban Express has a great deal of things that they need to correct with their business. I applied for a job as a driver 4 consecutive times and was never offered an interview, and I have a CDL license. I'm curious to know how many non-white drivers that they currently employ. And Mike in Champaign says, can we continue with the basketball? That number 11 in team in the country sure looked good, didn't they? I don't know who he's talking about. He says, I think it was North Carolina. They will move up probably to the 5 or 6 position after this week. They really look like a good team. Mike in the Champaign. Yes, North Carolina is a very good team, and they're very young. They're in a league with the Duke Blue Devils, which looks like a very good team. They got one player that's maybe the player of the year. You can already say Mr. Bagley is headed for the NBA, of course. And I don't know if anybody's going to handle the Dukies or not. But there were a lot of upsets. Kansas will drop from number 2. I'm sure of that. I don't know what will happen to Loyola. Loyola has, they're now 9-1. And went on the road down to Gainesville and beat Florida. Florida's going to drop as well because they have now lost 3 games in a row. Amazing. In the next hour at about 10:45, Senator Franken is supposed to make a statement, and it's probably going to be about his resignation. It's probably going to be that he is indeed going to resign, but who knows? He might say something entirely different. Not everybody does what you want them to do, right? Anything else going on that you want to talk about? We're at the 356-9397. The Castle Heating and the Cooling text line is 351-5357. We're going to visit with Joe Alexander and to talk about the Illinois Bicentennial. That'll be coming up after the 10 o'clock news, and then after that, we'll have more and more of our open line. Oh, here's a long explanation about the about the ice. Let's see. A substance that is less dense or less mass per unit volume than other components in a mixture. For example, if you toss a handful of rocks into a bucket of water, the rocks, which are dense compared to the water, will sink. The water, which is less dense than the rocks, will float. Basically, the rocks push the water out of the way or displace it. For an object to be able to float, it has to displace a weight of fluid equal to its own weight. Water reaches its maximum density at 4C, 40 Fahrenheit, do I have that right? 4C, 40F. As it cools further and freezes into ice, it actually becomes less dense. On the other hand, most substances are more dense in their frozen state than in their liquid state. Water is different because of hydrogen bombing. You want me to repeat that, Ed? Did you get that? I appreciate whoever sent that in, but I don't have the slightest idea what he's talking about. Well, we didn't get to the Suburban Express story because it's a good one. Jim Dye met with the owner, Dennis Teppan, and he starts out his column by saying, local business owner Dennis Teppan discovered again this week that when he leads with his chin, more than a few people will take a swing at him. They include the University of Illinois bureaucrats, the Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan, and even a U of I student senator who suggested that the passenger buses that Teppan operates should be banned from the public streets around the campus. His sin? Well, he sent an email message to potential customers that listed reasons to use his Suburban Express bus service. One of them stated, "You won't feel like you're in China when you're on our buses." The comment was taken, not unreasonably, as an unflattering reference to the 6,000 Chinese students enrolled at the University of Illinois. Then this goes on and talks about some of the other things that that have happened with Suburban Express, and if we have time in the second hour, we'll get to that as well. So our time is up this first hour. Thanks for your calls and your text messages. The news is next, and we'll be back and talk bicentennial on DWS. And welcome back to hour number two of Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin, and as promised, the guest in the studio, Joe Alexander, is going to talk to us a little bit about the State of Illinois Bicentennial and who knows what else. Joe has been on the program before, is always a terrific guest. We always have a lot of things to talk about, and good to see you, my man.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I am good. Now, you have no role with the Bicentennial. You're not a staff person or anything. You're just kind of doing this on your own to tell everybody that we got a pretty good state here.
You know, I am. So I studied history over on Wright Street, and I have a degree in it from the University of Illinois. And so I like history. I kind of studied it a lot as a kid. And I found as I traveled around 30 states last year with the president, and we're not here to talk about him necessarily today, but that Illinois necessarily didn't have a good impression around the country, and I'll tell you a story when we have a minute. But, you know, before we get too far into this, today's Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th, 1941, 76 years ago, and that had a dramatic effect on my grandparents, so many millions of Americans, and so it's important to remember days like today, Pearl Harbor Day.
Yeah, we had a call earlier this morning from a gentleman who, in fact, he ended the little conversation that we had by doing a little prayer for those of the greatest generation.
Well, I think that's very appropriate. Again, that generation did so much for our country, and I don't think it's important for us to remember dates like today.
So you have decided on your own that you will talk about all the good things in this state and all the events and those kind of make some speeches about the bicentennial because 200 years.
Absolutely. Well, our state is so rich in our history. It's almost an embarrassment of riches. It's almost like, where do you want to begin with all the amazing things that have happened in 200 years? Illinois became a state on Sunday, December 3, 1818. So the state of Illinois, there were some events in Springfield as well as Chicago on Sunday. And I think a number of counties did a flag raising with the Illinois Bicentennial flag on Monday. So I'm just out and about, kind of Joe out on the road, talking about this, doing radio shows like with great people like yourself. And just remembering, again, the rich history of our great state.
You mentioned the flags. Is there something going on where flags are going to be put in every city or every courthouse or something like that?
Well, again, it's my understanding. I'm not directly involved in that component of it, but flags were raised, I think, at a number of Illinois courthouses. It's kind of a solid white with a blue backing. Mm-hmm. And again, just we're out talking about it. So in the next year, there'll be a lot of different events. And so, again, I'm just out talking about our state's history. You know, there's so much. I mean, if you want to talk about it, four Illinoisans have direct ties or served as our president. Of course, Grant was in Galena at the beginning of the Civil War. He ended up in Cairo down in deep southern Illinois, the confluence of the Ohio and Mississippi River, the first 9 months of the war. Barack Obama, of course, came to Chicago after law school. He kind of rode a rocket ship to the political top, becoming a state senator, Illinois' U.S. senator, before becoming our 44th president. I think history will, as time goes on, view him. It's kind of early, just being removed from the presidency. But, you know, what do you say about Lincoln? I was out in Washington, and any time of the day, Jim, you could go up to the Washington Monument, morning, noon, or night, and you could see people from all across the country, all across the world, numerous foreign languages spoken there, paying homage to Lincoln. And, you know, lest we forget, Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president, was born in tiny Tampico, Illinois, grew up in Dixon, Illinois, and then when a lot of American presidents would go to places like Harvard and Yale, Ronald Reagan went to Eureka.
I lived in Springfield for several years when our children were growing up, and we, of course, had all the Lincoln shrines there, and since that time, they've got the great Abraham Lincoln Library and a museum there, which is one of the real show places in our state, as far as I'm concerned. This for the benefit of the people that have not seen this, I'm sure you have, you need to get over there and take a look, because they've done a marvelous job, and it's something that evolves. They got different exhibits on kind of a regular basis. We've done a couple of radio shows from over there. It's just a marvelous place.
It absolutely is. And, of course, the Obama Presidential Library will be developed here soon in Chicago. And I think both of those will be great destination points. Have you been to Galena lately? It's just an absolutely beautiful community. It's actually the second largest tourist site in the state of Illinois. It's not a very big place, about 3,500 people or so. But it's the bed and breakfast capital of Illinois, and it's rich in history.
When you made your trip around the several states, as you mentioned, with President, soon-to-be President Trump, what were some of the things that were said about Illinois, if there was anything good said? But you mentioned that the state of Illinois didn't have a very good reputation in some places.
Well, when I had a minute to breathe, and the president ran us pretty hard, but I went to Annapolis, Maryland, where our outstanding naval and Marine officers are trained at in beautiful Annapolis, Maryland. And I went for a tour at the United States Naval Academy. And so I put my Illinois driver's license across the table. They keep track of where their visitors come from. And the gentleman at the desk said, "Illinois, how many governors do you have in jail?"
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, we certainly have both an interesting and rich history, both good and bad. And I said, "Well, at the present time, only one. But there's a lot of good things about our state." So, again, I'm just kind of independently talking about those rich things that are state.
Now, today you're making a speech. Where, Savoy?
I'm down at Savoy talking to my friends there, D. Sean Quiler and John Brown, were kind enough to invite me. So wanted to catch up with you and your listeners today as well.
What are you going to tell them? Don't give away all your secrets, but what are you going to talk about there?
Well, just kind of a similar topic, you know, I don't know what you want to talk about. I mean, if you want to talk about business, John Deere started selling plows to bust up the rich, deep Illinois prairie. His first year, he sold, I think, two, and then those continued to grow. I think he sold 10 the next year. He decided he'd go to Moline, Illinois, and start production of that. And today, Moline, Illinois is still home base for John Deere, State Farm Insurance over in Bloomington. That is originally started selling to an underinsured population, farmers. And so that name is still there. There was a guy by the name of, I don't know, Jim, I don't know where you get your coffee at, or I go in a certain place, but McDonald's You know, Ray Kroc was a milkshake maker salesman, and he was in Southern California, came across some brothers that had this McDonald's restaurant and the concept of franchising. And Ray Kroc saw the opportunity to expand that across the country. His the first McDonald's restaurant was in Des Plaines, Illinois, not far from O'Hare Airport. And even still today, McDonald's Corporation is based in Oak Brook. They're moving to downtown Chicago later in the year. But just, I mean, Walgreens, I have already talked about Dixon and Ronald Reagan. Charles Walgreens was born, I think, in Galesburg. He grew up in Dixon, kind of an embarrassment of riches there. Mm-hmm. He moved to Chicago in 1901 and bought his first pharmacy. So Walgreens is a Illinois-based, Chicago-based company. Again, just rich, amazing history we have.
I assume you saw the movie with Michael Keaton playing the role of Ray Kroc.
That is an interesting movie. Enjoyed it.
It looked to me like when that was over that Ray Kroc and the two McDonald's, that he got the best of the deal.
That's certainly the way that movie's portrayed.
Is that not true?
I don't know. You know, I don't know the true. It did take a guy with a vision, and it was Ray Kroc to expand it nationally.
Oh, absolutely. He was selling one of the malted milk machines out of the trunk of his car when he ran onto the McDonald's.
He did. And it's just a great story, I think. It's, again, based in Illinois. Let's not forget about Caterpillar. That actually started in California. And then in the post-World War II boom, they moved to Peoria. Being on a river didn't hurt. And so, you know, my grandpa, a World War II veteran, he worked at Caterpillar. My brother's there. Just a great Illinois company. And so I think a lot to be proud of.
We're at 356-9397 if you have any comments or questions for our guest today, Joe Alexander. We're going to have, after the 10:30 news, we'll have more open line up until 11 o'clock today. What are some of the other things that really interest you as a historian about this state? You've mentioned several already with regard to business and so forth, but what have we done politically, let's say, that is significant in one way or the other, either very good or very bad?
Well, I think on a positive note, I've already touched on the four American presidents, Grant, Obama, Lincoln, and Reagan, that had direct ties to our state. You know, Chicago has held more major party political conventions than in any other state in the country by far. The first one was in 1860 when Republicans in Chicago nominated a guy from Springfield by the name of Lincoln, and that worked out pretty well. We've had some pretty colorful political conventions. Sometimes both the Democrats and Republicans held their national conventions in Chicago. So that's something to note. You know, I touched on World War II, the Civil War. Illinoisans have always answered the call when their country was in need. Memorial Day was originally called Decoration Day. It was started by a group called the Grand Army of the Republic. And there was a guy from Murfreesboro, Illinois, and down near Carbondale by the name of General John A. Logan. And so an Illinoisan, John A. Logan from little tiny Murfreesboro, Illinois, began the concept of Memorial Day. And I think it's appropriate that we recognize those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country.
We do have a caller waiting. You'll need to put the headset on there in order to hear them. That's a little volume control at the top there. This is Tom. Good morning, Tom. You have a question or a comment from a guest?
Yes, I do. I got a question for him, a little bit of trivia. Can you tell me what Navy sailing ship was built in Illinois and where?
I don't remember the name, but there were a lot of sailing ships built up in Seneca, Illinois. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. There were LSTs, landing ship tanks. They were part of the what they call the Gator Navy. They're flat bottoms. They did not put the superstructure on them until they got down to New Orleans because they wouldn't be able to go underneath the bridges.
You know, I really like that. You know, Jim, we kind of just forget about this stuff. We have the second largest river in the world that runs the entire length of our western state. We're connected directly on the five Great Lakes. Our road rail infrastructure is amazing. We kind of just forget that. A third of all freight traffic goes through the city of Chicago or Chicago region. O'Hare is the second largest airport in the country, or right in the center of the state.
It looked to me like I helped you with a little bit of traffic.
Thank you. I'll have to use that later today.
I sailed on an LST out of Yokosuka, Japan for 2.5 years.
Thank you for your service, sir.
Yeah, quite all right. Pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it, Tom. Interesting. Where is Seneca, Illinois?
It's up in northern Illinois. So it's not a very big place, but right on a river, and they built ships during World War II in Seneca.
And John is next. Hi, John.
Hi, good morning. I just kind of take issue a little bit with the idea that Grant had much to do with Illinois. Maybe you can fill me in a little better. I'm a huge fan of Grant, and I just think he was a spectacular man, but my understanding was he lived in the mansion that was bought for him in Galena about a year, possibly. So maybe you could fill me in.
Well, Grant was a military man. He moved around a lot. He was born in Ohio. He would end up in Galena. He resigned his commission from the United States Army. He was a West Point graduate, and he was in Galena, right, Illinois at the outbreak of the Civil War. His father had a tannery there. Probably not the most exciting place to be. And again, as I've already alluded to, Illinoisans have always answered the call when their country was in need. And so Grant led a troop of men at the beginning of the war. Galena was was the place that they started at. And then as the war went on, he was stationed down at Cairo for the first 9 months of the Civil War, Cairo being historically significant, because it was right at the confluence of the Ohio and Mississippi River. And then that allowed the Union Army, once Vicksburg, Mississippi fell on July 4th of 1863, a lot of Illinois men served in the Vicksburg campaign. The Union had full control of the Mississippi River between New Orleans and Cairo. And so then that allowed Sherman to do what he did to basically kill the will of the Confederacy to continue the war. And Grant would return back to Galena immediately after the Civil War because he was given a home there that you can still tour. My friend Terry Miller up in Galena actually runs, it's a state historic site, and a lot of people still go there because of that connection in the history in Galena.
John, what is your interest in Grant?
Well, I have read about him some, and when I was a kid in his school, he was kind of put down as a drunkard and smoker and just not a very nice guy. And in reading about him, I find that not to be quite the fact. I'm sure he drank some, but he was a spectacular general. One of the issues with him in Galena, and he did not get along with his father at all. Plus, he didn't like trying to sell leather goods in a store. And so my understanding was he didn't spend a whole lot of time in Galena, but I could be wrong about that. So, hey, thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you.
And let's go to Bob. Bob, we only have about a minute here, but go ahead.
Seneca is in LaSalle County, and during the war they had a big strike. Typical LaSalle County, the sheriff went up to meet with the strikers, and he walked up to the raging picket line, and he said to the head of the union, I'm here, I'm Clayton Harbeck. Where are your men? He says, well, how many strikes you got? That's back home. That's the way the people were. Remember, that little stripe of northern Illinois contained Wild Bill Hickok, the Mastersons, and the Earps in about a 100-mile wide and 40-mile deal.
Yeah.
They're different up there. Really
appreciate the call, Bob. He's beginning to break up there. But, Joe, wow, we covered a lot of territory there this morning, and we need to break for the news and go on to our open line after that. And I appreciate you coming down. I wish you good luck down at Savoy at noon today.
Thank you, Jim. Happy birthday, Illinois, and Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners.
Thank you so much. Joe Alexander has been our guest. We'll take a quick break here. The news coming up at 10:30. Yes, indeed, 11 o'clock. Take a little nap. We're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. This is an open line up until 11 o'clock today. And I hope you enjoyed Joe Alexander. There's a man who knows his history and a lot of good things. It makes you feel good to have somebody that's saying good things about your state and a reminder of all the things that have happened here in the past. And really appreciate talking to Joe. Tomorrow we'll visit with Jim Noland, political guru, Jim Noland. Let's see here what Bill says. Bill says, a side effect of bringing in that many Chinese students is lowering football attendance. How many Chinese students are interested in football? People should be outraged. There are spots that their children were denied when applying for admittance. That's from Bill in San Jose, California. Bill, there are a lot of people in the state of Illinois that have a similar complaint, not necessarily about the Chinese students, but the fact that my granddaughter, for example, is a good student, and she has applied to six or seven schools now and has been accepted by all of them. Michigan State for one, Indiana for another, Marquette for another, University of Illinois, nope. So I don't know why, but there's certainly a plan out there to get a big number of foreign students here, and they've succeeded in doing so. Maybe it's the out-of-state tuition. I don't know. Al is next. Hello, Al.
Good morning, Jim. In regards to this Chinese racism, if anyone has ever been in China, I got the impression that he was trying to attract Chinese students to his bus rides. Because if anyone's ever been over there, I call their buses sardine cans on wheels.
Oh, okay. So you think when he said you won't feel like you're in China when you're on our buses, that is not a negative comment?
No, no, no. It certainly is not. Or I sure didn't take it that way. Mm-hmm. Well, 'cause I've been there and seen how they ride in their mass transit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that could be taken that way. I'm not. I'll have to read the rest of Jim Dye's column here and see if he has anything to say about that part of it. But, boy, everybody jumped on him, including the Attorney General is going to look into this now.
Oh, well, everybody wants to get on the political correctness bandwagon.
Yes, they do.
Yep.
All right, thank you, Al. We're at 356-9397. Our text is 351-5357. Take another break here in just a moment, but we haven't brought up the fact that President Trump officially recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel yesterday, changing decades of U.S. policy despite widespread warnings against doing so from Muslim and European allies who said it could lead to violence in the region and destroy the peace initiative that his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, has been working on. Trump also said the U.S. would move its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, but didn't establish a timetable for that. Some said it might take years to get that done. The president stated that he was just recognizing reality in declaring Jerusalem the Israel, saying he was fulfilling a pledge that he made during the campaign, and that it was time to try a new approach to making peace in the Middle East. The Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, praised Trump's declaration as an important step toward peace, but the Palestinian president said it signals America's withdrawal from being a peace mediator and only helps extremist groups that want a religious war. We'll take a quick break here. We're coming right back. Phone lines open at 356-9397. We're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. The phone lines open at 356-9397. And Zoe is up next. Hi, Zoe.
Hi. How are you today?
I am good. How's Zoe?
I'm great. I'm so pleased with what President Trump has done, and it's long overdue, and it's just doing the right thing that making Jerusalem, I mean, not making, recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and some people are going to have to correct their maps who have been, anyway.
Well, they've corrected those maps for several hundred years.
Well, I've seen a lot of maps where Jerusalem is not, even though Israel has said that it's their capital, that it's not, you know, recognized as their, you know, capital. In fact, I have a Braille map of the Middle East where it's not shown. I was so shocked when I saw that. It's like, really? And so, but I guess what would you expect out of Princeton University? So,
anyway,
I'm happy.
Okay, I'm glad you're happy because
a lot of people
aren't, evidently.
But I think that the press, if they'd quit going around talking about how, oh, there's going to be violence, you know, they're just inviting it, kind of. So I think they should quit doing that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, appreciate it. Thank you, Zoe. Al Franken is on the Senate floor at the moment and is resigning. He is calling it quits. Let's go to Tony. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
What's up, Tony?
I just wanted to make a comment about Israel. There will never be peace in Israel. What Donald Trump did, he just made it worse. And as long as the Zionists are in power, in Israel, with their apartheid ways, we are going to continue to see pretty much terrorist acts, which they call terrorist acts, continuous fighting, because the people that are there aren't the original Jews. They're Ashkenazi Jews, and they've taken over land that isn't theirs and oppressed the people that are there. And a lot of people don't understand what's going on, but I just want to say, if you look into the Balfour Declaration, you'll get an understanding of what I'm saying. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Trump insisted that the U.S. wasn't taking a position on where a border between Israel and a Palestinian state should be. U.S. embassies and consulates around the world were put on high alert because of Trump's declaration, and Americans across the Middle East and Europe were warned to watch out for violent protests. We're at 356-9397. Let's see. Mark says exactly what he said on a Chinese bus ride. I don't know what that means. Exactly what was said on a Chinese bus ride. If he's talking about Mr. Tepin, Tepin's quote was, "You won't," and this was in an email, evidently, to potential customers, "You won't feel like you're in China when you're on our buses." Now, people have taken that in different ways, but for the most part, they have jumped all over him, and there's a lot of investigations going on now, including one from the Attorney General. Well, there's several other things that we didn't get to this morning, but maybe we can hold some of them over until tomorrow. But let's take our final break right here, then we'll come back and see how much time we have. Maybe time to take another call or two as we wind up a busy couple of hours here on A Penny this morning. Well, the word is that Senator Al Franken is resigning in coming weeks. So this is not immediate. He's, don't know, have the exact wording yet, but he's speaking as we speak. And he says he will resign in coming weeks. We'll learn more, of course, as we go along today. Well, thanks for all your calls and all your emails. My thanks to Joe Alexander for talking about the state of Illinois and all the good things going on here on WDWS in Champaign-Urbana.